Live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas. You're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hey, this is Tony Harnell, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they sleep in the garage. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hey, this is Tony Harnell, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up.
Guys, you're on live with Ragman, Mono E Mono, with one of his favorite vocalists of all time in heavy metal and hard rock. This guy has not lost a single thing, and you will hear it on his new project, Mr. Tony Harnell. Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, man. How are you?
Doing well, man. It's good to talk to you again. Like we talked about a little bit ago, it's been a few years, so it'd be good to catch up with you and talk about this brand new awesome project, Starbreaker. Actually, it's the third record you guys are putting out. But, you know, you've been up to a lot. can you kind of tell us what's been going on the last 5 or 6 years? I know you went back to TNT for a while, did the Skid Row thing, went back to TNT, and now you're doing the Starbreaker. Can you kind of give us, you know, I guess you're... thoughts behind TNT and the Skid Row deal?
Oh, that's you're getting off the hook easy. You don't want to ask specific questions. You're making me do a bio of the last 5 years. Oh my god, that's exhausting,
no.
Dude.
No. You know, okay. So you know what led you to believe to leave TNT this last time you were with the band?
I didn't leave. It was kind of a mutual situation, and it was pretty complicated. And honestly, at this point, not something I really want to get into too deeply.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about Skid Row? Because, you know, when I heard you were in the band, I was like, holy crap, you know, Tony's got the range still, and he could probably kill it with Skid Row. I don't know if it was... you know, you kind of wanted to do something else, you know, newer and not be in a band that had somebody else previously, or it just kind of played out and y'all both decided to part ways. I don't know if you can elaborate a little bit on the Skid Row experience.
I won't elaborate any more than I've kind of already have, which really isn't very much. Both camps have kind of said the same thing, which is, you know, it wasn't really a match. I mean, the only thing I will say is to answer your question, I knew full well what I was getting into in terms of it being a, I guess, for lack of a better word, a legacy act. And I knew that I would be judged against, the original lead singer, as you would be in any situation like that, as the singer that's in TNT now would be judged. So that wasn't really something that was any surprise or whatever. No, it was actually, I had a lot of fun. The shows got better and better, especially toward the end. I thought we did some great shows. What can I say? All I can say is that I'm not going to elaborate on anything other than to say that what I've been saying in several interviews, which is that the way that I left the band was not very good. And if I had to do that over, I certainly would. Just the manner in which it was done was kind of not really in character for me, and definitely not a professional move, and something I would never do again. But that's all I really have to say, other than nothing really more to say.
And I totally understand, man. Sometimes you get in a situation, you kind of, you may be a little hasty in what you do and stuff like that. And, you know, look back and say, you kind of learn from that stuff. Or at least I have in my career, and what I do is like, gosh, you know, I kind of wish I would have handled that better. But, you know, hey, we're moving forward, and we got a brand new Starbreaker album from you guys that's, man, it's very strong, Dysphoria. How did you hook back up with Magnus? I'm sure you guys kept on talking, but were you thinking, you know, hey, I want to do a solo record, or was Starbreaker kind of on your mind for your next thing you wanted to do?
You know, these things just kind of come up. I didn't, often in this business, we don't necessarily know what we're going to do next. You know, things just kind of pop up, and we say, yeah, that seems like a good thing to do. When TNT sort of, came back together in 2016, I was scheduled to do this, and I kind of put it to the side to focus on TNT, and when that last run ended, it made sense to just immediately dive into this. So I did. We didn't really get moving on it till the end of the year, till the end of 2017, the tail end. But a solo record is on my mind, but it wasn't the pieces of that it would take to put all that together weren't in place yet. So this was a natural thing to do, since I already was contracted to do this record. It was just a matter of diving into it. And you know, these records are great. Magnus is such a pleasure to work with, so it was a no-brainer for me. And yeah, we've been in touch over the years. I actually sang a song on his solo record, his last one, and called Stronger. And so, you know, we always enjoy working together.
How would you say that the new record differs from the last one, Love's Dying Wish, back in 2008? What would you say the main differences are? Are there a lot of differences?
Oh, I mean, I think there's a thread people will hear going through them, in that it's still me and it's still him, you know, Magnus playing, and we both have, I think, our distinct styles. But I think this record is... I think it's more thoughtful. I think it's a more, maybe more mature. I don't know if that comes with experience, with life, living, age, you know, all the above. But I think I think in many ways it's a better album than the first two. And I know everybody says that, but I think it's absolutely a better sounding album. I think it's the best sounding of the three by far, in my opinion. In all regards, the whole production is just much, much more clean, and I think people, when they listen to it, they'll find that same, that it really just really sounds great. So that is always nice when you work hard to write songs and you know, take your time to record everything well. It's always nice at the end if the person mixing the album does a great job. And certainly Simone, and forgive me, I won't say his last name because it's a little hard to pronounce, but I'm going to actually figure that out before I do the next interview. But he's an amazing, amazing producer. And he mixed it. Magnus and I produced it, you know, co-produced. I mean, he put all the music together. I produced, you know, my vocals. I was recording everything myself in at my place, and he was recording at his place in Sweden. I don't know. I think it's a deeper album in some ways, in that it's very, very honest, heartfelt, real kind of album, you know?
Oh yeah, dude. I want to compliment you because I'm all about variety, and there's a ton of variety. You can get something just, you know, kick you in the face like Pure Evil, and then you can bring it down to like a Beautiful One that's a really just awesome freaking ballad, dude.
Thank you.
That's what I love in this record. I think above the other two is I love this variety. Like you said, the sound, the production is spot on this record as well.
Thank you.
One of the first tracks that really grabbed me, I was wondering if you had a cool story on how this track came together for you, is Wild Butterflies, kind of a mid-tempo rock, a real heavy intro. I love shit like that.
Yeah, I think what's cool is, you know, we put out Pure Evil first just to kind of wake people up and slam, you know, everybody in the face and say, you know, it's coming. But it really doesn't represent the sound of the whole album. That's sort of the token fast metal song, you know, and the rest of the album is more melodic and song oriented, I guess you could say. Not that that's not a song and not a good song, but it's just a different vibe. But yeah, the second track is Wild Butterflies, which is one of my favorite songs, and it'll be the next single that'll drop when the day the record comes out, along with a beautiful lyric video as well. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I don't know, story. You know, the way these songs are written or the way I write when I work with Magnus is I just kind of, you know, when it comes to the lyrics, sometimes I'll have a lot. I mean, I've got loads of lyrics that I, and poems and so forth, that I sort of have logged into books and my phone and different places in my notes. And I'll refer to things sometimes, but often I just let things fly out of my head as I'm writing. And I just kind of pick up whatever vibe I'm feeling in that moment. And go with it. So this is just another case of that. And you know, it's a really cool song. You know, I think I don't like to describe or what's the word? What am I trying to say here? I don't like to lay out what the lyrics are really about. specifically, unless, you know, I'm asked. But it's I'm really proud of it, and I'm really proud of the album as well.
Nice. I really dig that song a lot. It's totally awesome. As far as writing, does Magnus kind of send you kind of finished ideas and you put the lyrics on it? Or I'm not sure if you play much guitar, or if you added, like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Or I talked to a lot of guys, especially vocalists, that some of them dabble in guitar, or actually some of them accomplished really good guitar players. And then there's some guys that don't play guitar, but they can hum a melody to a guy and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. How does the process work between you and Magnus?
It's pretty, it's a pretty cool collaborative effort. You know, it's different because of the fact that we're not sitting in a room together. We did do some Skype writing, but, you know, we didn't sit in a room together for this. It was all done long distance. Yeah, he puts together some pretty well-structured music for me. And basically the way we do it is that he'll send the music over, and I'll just put it into my computer and you know, get it running and just start to sing ideas, and I start writing as I'm listening. And then, you know, if I want things to maybe be a different arrangement, we'll move something, or I may do some editing of the music myself in the studio and show him what I have in mind, and maybe suggest a different intro, or we've torn quite a few songs apart, so it's not always that what he sends ends up as the final thing. Often it does, but not always. And there's a lot that goes into writing the melodies around music that's already written. It's not always easy if you don't have a good bed that has, you know, chord structures that make sense. And a lot of really good guitar players are not necessarily good songwriters. It's kind of a misconception that a lot of people have that just because someone's a great guitar player, they can write great songs. And that's absolutely untrue. But Magnus has a pretty good, especially to be a metal hard rock guy, he's got a pretty good sense of songwriting. And I think that's really important. It gives me a good bed to work with, and I'm always working to make it appear as though the songs were written, you know, around the melody versus the other way around. A lot of singers will write on top of music and it sort of sounds like they did, and my goal is always to kind of not make it appear that way, make it appear the opposite. And so I spend quite a bit of time, not just on the lyrics, but on weaving my melodies around what he's done and leaving space and not sucking up all of the music with vocals. You know, you don't have to have every little space filled with a vocal line. It's important to have some breath and some space between the, you know, the lines and the phrases. So, that's more or less a quick synopsis of what we do.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I think you hit the nail on the head, because I do know a few guitar players that really can't write songs. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they can rip and tear your head off with a great solo, but they can't write a song or a really good melody to save their life, you know. So that's awesome that Magnus has that versatility. And I've enjoyed a lot of the stuff he's done, put out over the years. Alan Land stuff was really, really cool, and I'm really digging this Starbreaker as well.
Thank you. Yeah, he's great.
Another track I wanted to bring up, and I just kind of mentioned a little bit ago, is Beautiful One. And I love how that one starts off as this really soft ballad, but as it gets into it, it gets powerful. You get the melody, and then you get, next thing you know, the hairs on the end of your arms are like raising up because it's such a powerful song. And dude, your vocals, oh my God, you're hitting some notes that guys half your age probably can't hit.
I've been wrong in every way, numbing myself, losing my way. You're right here in front of me, holding
Yeah, well, thank you. It's well, that's a song that I actually wrote myself about 3 or 4 years ago. And as we were working on the album, I thought it would be cool to have, you know, just a cool dramatic ballad. Although that one, the way I wrote it, it didn't have all the high singing. It just sort of was a, you know, pretty simple strumming acoustic ballad, you know. And he added the guitar solo and suggested to me that that on the second chorus I start to lift up the, you know, the melody into the higher octave. So I did that, and then at the very end, I mean, I didn't think it was going to work, to be honest, to do it the way it was done, but actually it does come off. It came off pretty well, but that's something we never did before, where I just kind of had a song that had been sitting there demoed for a while and had sent it over to him to see if it could work, and he made it work. Actually, I didn't know if it could work because it was so different than anything that we'd ever done before, but he took it and rockified it, I guess you could say. So yeah.
It's just another killer track on the record. One of the last ones I want to bring up is the title track. That's another one, kind of mid-tempo rocker type thing. I'm a fan of, I like the fast stuff, but I like the more mid-tempo stuff. Maybe the older I get, I don't know. But with just a really good, heavy, punchy edge to it. Another really solid track for you, man.
Again, it was just, you know, it's really fun, you know, when you get into the zone and you're working and you're writing some, you know, you get lucky sometimes, cool stuff comes out. And luckily, you know, that title came out as well, which I thought was a good title for the record. So, and fitting, for most of the songs is, you know, there's kind of a theme running between the songs, and I thought that title really worked well.
Very cool, dude. Well, you mentioned the lyric video for Wild Butterflies. Do you guys plan on doing like a performance type video at any point? Or,
you know, we've been working on that, and we had a couple of mishaps in that process, which I won't get into. I was in the midst of a move and had to hire somebody I didn't know and couldn't vet properly, so I had a bit of a disaster trying to shoot a video for How Many More Goodbyes, which has already been put out as just a song, but we were actually working on a video for it, and I'm gonna try to get that done relatively soon, so we can, and I may actually throw another one in there myself. We'll see how it goes. So yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll get that done.
Well, it's kind of interesting with the way the market is today opposed to the way it was in the 80s and maybe early 90s, where you can almost film your own video at a pretty low cost. I mean, just to put something out there, I think Jorn Land did a few of those where I think he had almost a video for every song on one of his previous records. And I'm like, look at you, Jorn. But it was, I mean, they were just simplistic, but it was kind of cool to, you know, see a little, him singing. And especially if you don't get to see a guy like that perform live. Do you guys have any plans of trying to do some shows with this new record?
I hope so. You know, I know that we would have interest in doing that. He doesn't really like to tour, Magnus, because he likes to be home with his family. But if we can book maybe, you know, some festivals, I think he would go for it. So we'll see what happens. I definitely would love to see it happen. I know a lot of people would love to see the band live. So hopefully we'll make that work.
Well, you know, I know Frontiers has their festival every year, and that's usually when you see a band that doesn't really tour, at least get together for a show. I know Unruly Child did one at the festival a couple years ago, and they actually put a DVD out, which I don't know. That's thinking very far ahead, if y'all can do that. But that'd be a very cool thing, too.
Yeah, we did get offered to do the Frontiers Festival this year, but we just we didn't feel that there were some issues that we were having with the logistics behind it, so we turned it down. But you know, that's what TNT headlined in 2017, and that's the video that's going to be coming out, the DVD, in March. So.
Oh, nice.
I had put that up on my all my social media pages just a few days ago. So.
Sweet. Wait, and I guess that was for. There's that one club, it looks like in Milan, where a lot of people are putting out videos. I know Mr. Big did it there. And there's been several. I think Steelheart just had theirs.
Yeah, it's all from the same festival. It's and they're all on, they're all out through Frontiers. So
yeah. So that's a good place. It looks like a pretty good little venue to do a show too.
It's not little. I'll tell you. It's pretty.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good size. Yeah, I'm not sure how many people it holds, but it really. It's really a theater. I mean, it is technically a club, but it's you know, it's a big place.
Awesome. Well, before we leave the record here, I want to bring up, y'all did a cover of Judas Priest's Starbreaker. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was it to put that on there?
We were just kind of going through the record and you know, the name of the band was, I'm an old Judas Priest fan from when I was a kid, you know, and that's kind of where the name of the band came from. And we were recording the record, and I thought we hadn't done a cover song, and I haven't actually put out with any of my rock bands, I haven't really put out any covers. And I thought this could be, you know, kind of obvious and kind of cool. So we tried it. I said to him, if it doesn't come out really, really great, we won't put it out. But we finished it, and I thought it came out amazingly well. I thought it came out great. So we put it on the record. Yeah,
it's very cool. Well, put a bug in your ear if you ever want to get Morning Wood back together. Genghis and I are huge fans, and we would be first in line to purchase that thing if you ever did anything with those guys again.
Well, I'll probably do something similar, but it's probably more likely that I'll do a Mercury Train, use the Mercury Train, you know, moniker, rather than the Morning Wood. That's not really the greatest name in the world for a project. and I'll probably do a full, but probably with new people, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah. But thank you. Yeah, I love that record as well.
Yeah, and your voice players. With Al Petrelli's guitar. Forget about it.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He really is.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you go here, as far as solo record, do you have any kind of idea in mind of what direction you would go in? Would it be a kind of a hard rock thing, or would you kind of take it down a notch a little bit?
I think it would be all over the place. You know, I think a solo record for me should reflect all the influences that I love. I love to both listen to and to sing. And you know, just kind of try my best to merge all my influences into an album, which would be challenging. And one of the reasons I probably haven't put a proper solo record out yet is because it is a challenge, in my opinion, to really put it together properly. So I am planning on it, and I hope to launch it this year. You know, certainly an exciting prospect to get into. And my goal would be to start releasing solo records every year if possible.
That would be killer, man. And what I would love to see is if you, have you ever thought about maybe doing a small tour? I know it's not real economical to do, but I don't know if you'd ever look at doing a small tour of the States and hitting some places. Texas would love to see you, I tell you that.
Yeah, I'd love to do a lot more than a small tour, yeah. I think the goal is to get these records moving. I have a bunch of music coming out this year, and another record coming out toward the end of the year, so through Frontiers, and then on top of that, gearing up for a solo record. So, yeah, I'm hoping that after all the music that's coming out this year, that that touring will become more and more, you know, a likely scenario for me. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Awesome, man. I don't think I've seen you since probably the late 80s with TNT. Man, you were amazing, and would love to see you live again, man.
Yeah, I've been touring a lot, but just not over here.
You know? Yeah, I know. I know you're busy, man. I know you're busy. Well, Tony, before we let you go today, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Just appreciate the years of support and love, and I love my fans, and I love their dedication to me and my music, and couldn't do it without them. So, you know, thank you to everybody, and to you, Alan.
You bet, man. And Tony, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis Ragman Show here on the Right to Rock. And we also want to tell the fans to grab Starbreaker's brand new record, Dysphoria, out on Frontiers. It kicks ass, dude. And again, just love the variety of this record. I think it's going to do well for you guys. And the best of luck to you, man.
Thank you, Alan.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.